This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:14 on this Tuesday morning. Got some spotty fog around. Be aware of that. Highs today of 79 degrees, going up to 80. And it was warm yesterday afternoon after the rain went through. 81 tomorrow. 79 Thursday. Chance for showers Friday. And then a 90% chance for rain on Saturday, which is really awful for the Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day parade, because that was their makeup day to parade after they were rained out the first time. Then Sunday, more parades planned. Nice then, highs of 84. In Gretna, I think they got a big parade. So that's pretty warm, mid-80s. And before you know it, man, the heat and humidity of summer will be here. So get out and enjoy whatever spring weather is left while you can. Mark Hamrick joins us now, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. Stagflation hits. It's going to be hard to enjoy anything, because I know I lived through it as a very, very young person, as did a lot of y'all listening. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Good to be with you. Good morning.
Did you live through, I'm not trying to pry into your personal business here or anything, but did you live through stagflation in the 70s?
Yes, very much so. I was a teenager and older by that time.
There is a great shot, an old TV program, The Rockford Files, where in the opening credits, he's buying a steak and he's got his eyes rolled, putting it in the basket like he has no choice. And I always hearken to that, because that, Mark, seems to me to sum the entire thing up, where it's like, well, I guess I got to buy it. I don't know what else to do. Tell people what stagflation is for those that were not around for it.
Well, this is a term that gets bandied about quite a bit, and knowing that we were going to discuss this, I was curious to see what a literal dictionary, a definition of it looks like. And it's consistent, I think, with the definition that a lot of people associate, and that is persistent high inflation combined with high unemployment and stagnant demand in a country's economy. It was used most often during the time span that you talked about, but the use of the word actually has continued quite commonly through, I would say, the last couple of decades. So it's very much a term that is worth knowing about, and as you indicate, pondering whether it could be increasingly relevant.
I would also ask those that were not there to be around for to Google Jimmy Carter and General Milley's speech, because it was astounding to have the President of the United States come on and say that the country was in a general malaise. Let's talk about the economy in the United States now, and what are the conditions that could lead to stagflation, another round of it, or what is it that has investors concerned, Mark?
Yeah, this question was asked of Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell maybe a few news conferences ago, meaning perhaps in the middle part of last year. And he obviously is in his 70s now as well. And so he was alive when the period occurred that you're talking about. And people who weren't conscious at that time would be well to remember that essentially what happened was the Arab oil embargo, and we had gasoline lines and very high interest rates resulted from the high inflation, and eventually by creating a recession or two, Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker was able to slay the beast that was high inflation, but it took a lot of pain. And so we're in a much different situation right now, to the extent that we're complaining about inflation that's roughly at a 2.5% level, not in the high single digits or even low double digits, and in some cases high double digits. Doesn't mean it's any more pleasant to deal with. And, you know, it's the primary complaint that people have about the economy is elevated prices, which result from inflation. I think you would have to get a substantial rise in the unemployment rate, which right now is at 4.1%, a substantial rise, you know, something that's more akin to what we see during recessions. When we had a recession before the COVID crisis, the previous recession had produced unemployment of 10% in 2009. And so 4.1% that we have right now is far from that. And of course, we were 14.8% in early 2020, but that persisted, thankfully, for only about a month or so. So we'd have to have much higher unemployment, and I think that we'd have to have higher inflation as well. And, you know, crossing our fingers right now, I don't think that that is a realistic concern. In other words, something to be aware of, you know, and I would always say, well, what should we do about it? Save more money, have more money in emergency savings, et cetera, pay down debt are really two time-tested smart things to do. But recession risks are clearly rising, and so, you know, that in and of itself is concerning enough.
Let's talk about the stock market when we come back. 401ks, I don't know if it's up or down. I don't, not 401ks specifically, because that would depend on what you're invested in. But I don't know if the market's rallying or not. Sometimes people breathlessly tell you what's going on after 3 minutes of trading when the market opens, and that seems to me a little premature. Somebody texted in, I guess you Democrats can dream and hope. Somebody else texted in and said, no pain, no gain. But I think you have to... I guess you have to wonder if stagflation produced any gain, and what was the state of the economy in November and December? What's the state of it today, and are we gaining anything or not? So we'll talk about all that when we come back with Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, who, like me, is neither blue or red, but I think for the most part green and concerned with money. 621 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, about stagflation. Is it coming? Is it something to just keep an eye on, something we could actively worry about? Mark, inevitably, you know, when it comes to all this stuff, we talked about being on Team Red or Team Blue. I don't care about any of that. I'm just concerned. I mean, I care about the country, obviously, and the future and the security of the country. But I also care about how I'm doing with the economy and how my personal financial situation is. That comes first. So when it comes to the state of the economy and Wall Street and tariffs and so forth, do we know how the market's reacted to all of this yet? Because it seems like it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up. But that's what markets do, right?
Over time, obviously, Tommy, the markets move up and down. And people have, in a way, been spoiled by the last few years where we had double-digit percentage rallies in each of the previous 2 years in the S&P 500, which is the main index that's relevant to most people's investments, whether they're saving for retirement through a 401k. Think about the fact that the S&P 500 has been up sharply in the past 2 years. A pullback would have been expected no matter what. You know, we survey professional investors every quarter, and they told us in the fourth quarter of last year that people should be prepared for the possibility of less than stellar returns in the coming 12 months and perhaps even below normal returns in the next 5 years. But this is a horse of a different color in the era in which we're talking right now because of the high degree of volatility and uncertainty. And uncertainty undermines consumer confidence. It is undermining consumer confidence. It's undermining business confidence. The S&P 500 was down as much as 10% recently from the high. but it's come back. And so year to date, the S&P 500 is down all of 2%, and over the last 3 months, it's down 3.6%. So that's basically, it's not been a garden variety move for this index or the rest of the market, but the fact that it has recovered within this, what was called a correction in the 10% pullback, should give people at least some a sense of relief for now, but I'd be the last person to try to predict what the market's going to do in the intermediate term.
At what point does the market accept uncertainty, if that doesn't sound too dumb, where they realize that, okay, for the next couple of years, it's going to be tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs on, tariffs off. Who knows what the outcome's going to be, because President Trump runs things differently than did previous presidents. Does the market eventually adapt to that, Mark?
I don't think so, because that is the polar opposite of what businesses and consumers need to be able to look through to make decisions that they need to make. And so if you're a business leader, obviously if you've got customers knocking at your door and you need to crank out more widgets, you're going to do that. But if you're buying aluminum or steel to make those widgets and you're worried that the boat that's already set sail with all of your widgets and steel is going to cost you all of your capital operating budget, for the coming year to just import that steel and pay the tariff, you are worried whether you're going to be able to stay in business. And so this lack of predictability, I think, is as bad as anything that I could possibly come up with short of a recession or war itself. And so we need to have consistency, and we need to have some degree of certainty, and not the maybe we will, maybe we won't, maybe we'll do something halfway, which is sort of the way the news cycle's been going of late.
What can people do, Mark, personally, to protect themselves, insulate themselves from this up and down inconsistency?
I really, like to stick to the notion that best financial practices hold true through thick and thin, through good times and challenging times. And most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. We're a paycheck to paycheck country. So help us break out of that cycle by having 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. It's not going to happen overnight if one's beginning that, but we just need to have a dedicated savings account that comes out of direct deposit and funds itself. And then over time, we'll have enough money to pay for that emergency expense or the unforeseen event.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your time as always. Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. You really do need to start saving money. And I don't care if it's a piggy bank. I don't care if it's saving it and turning it into big bills and then putting them in the bank. Whatever you got to do, come up with a way to incentivize yourself to save money and spend less. That's the only way. 6:30, more when we come back. Time now, WWL First News.